Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and good evening, everyone. Welcome on to the show. I am your host, Anna Black, and tonight we're going to be joined by Miss Alice Rendell. She's going to come on tonight to discuss her newest and latest novel, Ada's Ruse, a sexy, skinny novel. Before we get into our show, we do like to thank our listeners for supporting us each and every time that we air. With my work schedule now, it's been a little hectic, but we try to get the show to air as often as we can, considering how time allows. We also want to give a shout out to Miss Tamika Newhouse, which is the founder of AANBC. She is the reason why we're here. Without her, AANBC wouldn't be in effect, so we do want to give a shout out to her. So without further ado, we're going to go ahead and introduce our guest. Ms. Rendell, if you can hear me, say hello and welcome onto the show.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Excellent.
I was a couple of minutes logging in late because I was having some login issues. I kept getting an error. It wouldn't let me log in. So finally, it just cracked and let me in. So thank you for waiting so patiently. Before we get into the Miss April Randall, the authoress, we're going to get a little background from you to see, like, where you're from and some personal history about yourself prior to you becoming a best-selling authoress. Give us a little feedback from where you're from, like where you started before you got into writing.
Okay, well, I'm Alice, like Alice in Wonderland, but I say now Alice in Dixie, but I was born in Detroit, Michigan. I was born in Motown in 1959. I just had my 53rd birthday, so I'm a little bit of an old head here, and I grew up in Washington, D.C., and then moved back south to Nashville, Tennessee. And I started off as a songwriter and as a country songwriter, only black woman in history to write a number one country song. And then I went from songwriting to screenwriting and did some work with Oprah Winfrey and with Quincy Jones and ended up settling on novel writing about 12 years ago. So that's how I got here. I'm a mama and a wife and have parents that have been that are now dead, but that I had taken care of when they were older, and so a lot of it's just being a mama and a wife and a daughter, too.
Wow. Well, with so many great things under your belt, with so many avenues that you have been blessed to take, what prompts you to say, okay, it's time to move on, like you say, from the songwriting and being the a black country Western writer, you know, female country Western writer? I want to say kudos to you because that's something I, like, have to really wrap my head around because I find myself changing the station if I hear country soon. So that's just like a little that's something new. And but it's cool because people are versatile. So what made you transition from all the other wonderful things that you had going on, especially having the privilege to work with such an icon like Oprah Winfrey? What made you say, I want to sit down and devote myself to writing novels? And, you know, what made you transition?
Well, I love to read books. You know, since I was a little girl, that was always one of my favorite escapes. I love music and I love movies, but I love books maybe most. And so in my 20s, I was a songwriter. In my 30s, I was a screenwriter. And for my 40th birthday present to myself, I said the one thing I always wanted to do was write a novel. So when I turned 39, I started writing that book. So it would be my 40th birthday present to myself. And when I was thinking about the country, you know, I think Aretha Franklin in the deep down is a, you know, a great country singer. Or even when you hear a song like Billie Holiday, Strange Fruit, what I love is the country blues. You know, that's what I come out of it. So that's how it all ties together. So if I pick some country songs for you, you like them. You might not call them country, but you like them.
I think my current boss now, he has a Haleem Baktun on his phone saying "Keep Me in Mind." Now, I hear that song so much from his phone, like I found myself humming that song.
Oh, that's
so I'm
wild.
Sure, as a couple's country, I can't say. It's some songs that I like. I'm not going to lie. I've been in pool halls and they play songs like, oh, I know that song. How I know it, I don't know, but they have a catchy tune.
But
wow,
it is funny.
Wow,
it's a long way around. But I do love the novel writing. And I was very privileged to get to work with Quincy Jones. And it was so funny. My daughter teaches school in Mississippi right now. And she was at a dinner on Friday night. And Danny Glover, the great actor and activist, was speaking at the dinner. And he came up and he recognized Caroline. He hadn't seen her probably since she was 4 years old, almost 20 years ago, when we were working on a movie together that Quincy was producing. It didn't finally get made, but it was about a wonderful black cowboy, Britt Johnson from Texas. And it's just wonderful, you know, to make those old friends, but you have to keep coming to the new, what you're doing. Like Danny's now starting to be a director, and I really needed to move on to a new genre and end up writing books. Do you write books?
Right. Yeah.
I knew you
did.
I did
my homework about you. Yeah, I had the privilege this year to publish my fifth full-length novel in April, and I do have six published releases. I am a part of Delphine's anthology Between the Sheets, but I'm actually writing my sixth novel now to be published, hopefully, God willing, April of 2013. So, and I have other projects going on, but that's my life. I love to write.
I know you do. That's why I was asking you. I'm teasing you. I know that. But I love talking.
So
it's so wonderful to talk writer to writer, because usually when you're on a radio show, it's not with another writer. So it's just so wonderful.
Wow. So tell us a little bit about this title, because we're going to get between the pages of this book in a moment. But this title, it's like when you sit down to say, I want to, you know how it is. It's like naming your children. While the baby's in the womb, you're thinking of these names. So while you're writing this book, what sparked this title?
Ada's Rules, a sexy skinny novel. Well, Ada is just such a big character, literally and figuratively. I just knew that her title had to be her name after a while. And she has these rules, these 53 rules that help her lose. She needs to lose 100 pounds, and she ends up losing a lot of weight, not quite 100 pounds. And so the title just came to me. The first title was Infatuation, like in a fat situation. But she needed something more take charge. And then the rest of it, she needed something that was just like her, a little bit funny and sexy, and a sexy skinny novel. But it's not a skinny novel. It's a pretty thick. It's a fat novel, P-H-A-T fat. And it's because it's when Ada says skinny, she doesn't mean like little, like a size 4 or something. She means comfortable in the skin she is in.
Right.
So she has a little bit of joke on people who think that it's like going to be a little bony novel. No, it's not bony. It's thick.
Okay. All right. Because I was just wondering, because I'm looking at this book like, because all of literary works, all of my main characters or my leading ladies, they are plus size women. And I'm like, hey, when I saw the word skinny, I'm like, wait a minute, hold on. I got to talk about this.
No. You have to read the book, and you have to realize now when Ada starts this book, my little Ada is only, she's very plus size, and I am a plus size woman. I am a proud and plus size woman. But Ada
Me too.
Ada starts this book. She is 5'1", and she's way over 225.
Right.
She's just a little thing. But she gets down. But as I said, for Ada, the single digits, people say, oh, God, is she getting too small? I said, no. For Ada, the single digits will be if she gets to 1X, 2X. There's more than one set of single digits.
She's
taking her mind out of the 22 to the 2X.
Right. Like, if I can just get to a 14, thank you, Jesus. You know.
Oh, well, I'm not even sure those days will ever come again to me.
Oh, no.
I am now under 200. When I started writing this book, I was way over 200 pounds. And writing this book, I got significantly under it. And I can squeeze into certain 14s. But, you know, I'm definitely more in that 16 land, 18. But I'm very pleased to be there as opposed to where I was in the 22 land, in the 24 land, just because I am short. And that's not good for my health at my age.
So this book was inspired by your own personal experience? Or was it like, okay, let me ask you this first. Is a book set in a novel stage, like a storyline, or is it more of a motivational setting? Is it more of a motivational self-help type setting or novel-based?
It's a romance novel. Ada is about 50 years old. She's married to a preacher. Mm-hmm. She thinks he may be cheating on her. They have not had sex in a year. She is not quite sure why. And she decides that she is going, and she gets an invitation to her college reunion, and she decides she's going to lose some weight and go back and get her college boyfriend that she never had sex with back. And because her husband had already forgiven her for that. And that's all in the first chapter. And he thought she had, but she hadn't. So she thought, well, I'm going to go and, you know, rekindle an old flame. And so it's very much a novel as you try to find out, does she lose the weight? Does she have an affair with her old boyfriend? Is her husband really having an affair? And what's going to happen?
Oh, okay. So it's a story unfolds type of novel.
Yes, but as the story unfolds, each chapter, you do actually get totally woven into it. a weight loss tip and see how Ada was dealing with it too. So it's really completely a novel and completely a diet book.
Oh, okay. So you give some tips on how to actually put your weight loss in motion, because some people don't know where to start. People
no,
be like, okay.
It gives you a rule in each chapter. Each chapter is really short. It's 53 chapters, 53 rules. From weigh yourself daily to drink 8 glasses of water, her 3 a day. Her 3 big rules are sleep 8 hours each night, drink 8 glasses of water each day, and walk 8 miles each week. Not each day, each week.
Right.
Because one of the things people don't know, particularly black women, and this is very serious, but the novel is really funny and sexy, is that one of the main reasons a lot of black women have weight issues is that we do not get enough sleep, that we are over-exhausted, we are overworked.
Right.
And so it's really, the research is showing that that really leads, it makes it hard for us to lose weight. So we have to take care of ourselves, we have to rest, we have to get our 8 hours sleep. And 8 glasses of water a day, a lot of research shows, can help you get less hungry. And then, and walking 8 miles a week is just like walking a little bit more than a mile a day. But Ada also has some really funny rules, like massage your own feet and get better hair. And if we can say this on the radio, get better hair down there. She has some really funny rules.
No, we can say, we're mature. We can say anything we want.
So she has, you know, she is a, she thinks about it all. She has a health and beauty revival from nose to toes and everything in between.
Wow. So when you decide to say that you want to publish your novel, what route did you take? Did you seek to go to a traditional publisher, or did you search out print-on-demand companies, or did you decide to say, well, okay, my project, my thing, I want to self-publish? How did you actually get your book in print?
I went to a traditional publisher because that's just where I've been. I had a friend years and years ago who was an editor. And when I say years ago, I'm talking about over 30 years ago. And before he was an editor, we were friends. And I sent him my first book, and he chose to publish that one, you know, as an editor. And I stayed with him for 2 books. And when he moved to another publishing company, I moved with him. And so I've been with the same editor, you know, for the 10 years I've been writing and publishing books. But we've been friends even longer than that. So that's how I did it.
Well, so tell us, we got time, so tell us a little bit about your earlier works, because a lot of times, like myself, you know, Ms. Randall, I know you are a New York Times bestselling author, but before even getting people to have you on the show, I didn't know who you were, and a lot of people don't. There's so many authors in this walk of life now. I mean, it's an author like party on every corner. And I'm like, I never saw so many people. It's like a floodgate of authors now. So, and everybody's published, because it's not just the traditional route anymore like it was like in the 80s and the 90s, where you really didn't have any way to get in there. So,
and I love the fact that everyone can get in. I think that more voices, the better. I think that's a great thing.
I think so too. And a lot of people, it kills me how a lot of people are, I guess, intimidated, or it's like I know some authors are so secretive about stuff. They try to keep everything on a hush-hush. Look, this is a big literary pool, you know?
I'm not like that at all. And that's why I said I'm an old head. I don't know how, I'm 53 years. I am more the merrier. I've always wanted to make things easier and better for black women above me and below me in terms of age. And
I
believe that I love it if any, you know, I think that there's a big audience, and everybody, I mean, people like to read. People like to read many books a day. People read them in their beds, in their bathtubs, in their bathrooms. They read them in the car when they're waiting for somebody. We can't get enough good books. There's too many stories to tell. We should all, I believe everybody should tell the stories they can, and I am completely in love with independent publishing and self-publishing. And you know, if I didn't have this child to support as a young grown woman now, et cetera, might have gone to that. But it's just a generational thing. I don't even have a smartphone, so I surely can't be publishing any books right now. Now, I've got a website, and I vaguely learned to tweet, but, you know, that I just I'm holding it down at the other end, but I'm looking forward to all my young sisters uplifting me and taking me into the new world. So,
right.
But this book is
so
really
many,
pure.
So many outlets now. And if I can tell you, to be honest with you, if it wasn't for the Facebook and the Twitter and the things like that, I wouldn't even be at the amount of success I am today, which I'm not big and huge. I haven't hit no New York Times bestsellers list just yet, but my books are doing well, and I think that the rate that I'm going to establish a fan base has been going pretty decent. So those outlets, those forums for people to advertise or to give the public some I guess information about themselves, I think they're wonderful. So I wouldn't dare knock any of those, because those are the reasons why.
We have 600 members right now about on my Ada's Young Army Facebook page. Now, mainly, young women of color. I'm really excited about that. We have a website, www.adasrules.com, and that gives you all the diet help you want for free, and the 53 rules, and lots of inspiration and poetry and recipes and all that. So I love what we're doing on Facebook, and the social media I'm really big into, because I think it just lets everybody come to the party.
Right. So real quick, tell us the titles, because I know
okay.
We came on to talk about your latest title, but for those who's not familiar with who Miss Alice Randall is, let them know some of your earlier works, because sometimes people read that one book and want to know everything else you wrote because they want to get their hands on it. So tell us a little bit about some of your previous novels or your earlier works.
Okay, my first one was The Wind Done Gone, and that's a black retelling of Gone with the Wind from a slave's perspective, from the the perspective of Scarlett O'Hara's illegitimate black half-sister, who is actually more beautiful and more intelligent than Scarlett O'Hara. That's my first one. My second one is Pushkin and the Queen of Spades. That's about a black woman professor who gets pregnant between her freshman and sophomore year in college, and she raises her son to be the most intellectual boy in the world, but he is a defensive lineman for the Titans about to marry a white Russian lap dancer, and the mother is either going to kill herself before the wedding or talk right. She literally is writing this suicide note love letter that she's either going to talk herself into accepting this child as foolish and crazy as he has been, or she's going to kill herself. And then the third one is about a black spy family, and I think I'm one of the first people to ever write about that. And I researched it and talked to black spies, black spy families, and that was really wonderful, called Rebel Yell. And this fourth one is Ada, very down-home black woman, first lady of a church who's got some weight to lose and a crazy man, and she's trying to hold it all down.
And trying to get to that sexy old high school sweetheart.
Matt Mason.
So those are
my first four.
So what do you do? Because I have people that's on that self-published, and I have also people that's on traditional published, because people think and this is for those aspiring authors out there that's listening in that may want to consider publishing one day. A lot of people really think, okay, I publish a book and boom, I'm rich. What would be your advice? Let them know how it is on this side, whether you were traditional publishing or self-publishing. What work do you have to involve yourself to make sure your books are selling?
Well, the one thing I would say is, first of all, like they say in Nashville, don't quit your day job. Now, it's hard to make money on books. You need a second gig. You need something else. Mine is whether it's teaching. And when I first started off as a songwriter, I actually, before I got to be successful at that, I worked at the department store selling housewares to support my songwriting. And you've got to do whatever you need to do. And then right, in this modern world, putting up a website is expensive. Paying for an app is expensive. All of those things that you're doing to support the book, they're really important investments. But you have to invest money to make this money, let alone the time. I think the most important advice I give to young writers, and I was a baby writer. I have supported myself writing all of my life since I was 19 years old. I didn't have a mama or daddy or a husband who did that thing. Had good daddy. I did have people who did things for me, but they did not support me. So I've been supporting myself since I was 19 years old by writing. And so it's been a long haul. And the one thing I do say to young writers is write every day. don't make excuses. When I first started writing books, I would write from 10 o'clock at night to 2 o'clock in the morning. And that gave me 4 hours and times 7 days a week. I did it on Sunday. That's 28 hours a week. You can find time to do it if you make a schedule. Some people get up before day. What, last week, just one day, I got up. I started writing at 3:30 in the morning because I had something to do and I had a lot of things to do during the day. By the time 8 o'clock in the morning came, 3:30, 4:30, 5:30, 6:30, 7:30, I had already been working 4.5 hours. And so you can't make excuses. When you write, you work for yourself. And if you work for yourself, you're going to work a lot.
Right. Yeah, that's right. That is right. And I'm a night owl. I do. I am night owl. I cannot, when it's quiet and nobody's bugging me, and I do work a full-time job now. I didn't at first, but now I work full-time. But I work nights. Most of the time, so I have plenty of free time to write because, I'm up all night. So there's always something to write about, trust me.
Absolutely.
Always something to write about.
That is.
So what's coming up for you? Do you have any specific projects you're working on? Do you have any sequels coming? Because I was never a sequel writer, but you got to get the people what they want. So,
well, you know, I was never a sequel writer, but I've been thinking about it for Ada. I think that I've had a lot of call already for more of Ada. I've got another project. This summer I'm going to the Essence Festival. I'm really excited about that. I'm one of the keynote speakers there, and I'm going to be at the big book club conference in Atlanta and also in July. So, but I have, for writing, I want to settle down, and I do have a secret next project that I'm just starting on, but I think there may be another Ada's Rules. But my most exciting project right now, aside from Ada, is my daughter and I, she's 24. We have a children's book for African-American girls coming out in October, so we're really excited about that. And we went with an independent press with that, and it's The Diary of B.B. Bright, Possible Princess. But the book I think that will be my legacy is Ada's Rules, because I think Ada's Rules is so much fun, but it takes aim at a serious problem, and it will help women have a lot of fun and get their lives together. It helps, as someone says, it rekindles, it brings a lot of heat back into some old marriages when you read this book.
Right. Wow. Some people do need a reality check. Some people really do. Some people do need a reality check and get them back to, like you say, love, or let you know, like, look, it's time to let it go. You know, some things cannot be fixed.
No, exactly. But a lot of things can be. We need a reality check, but we also need a lot of hope, and we need to have some imagination and that fun because, you know, when Ada begins, at some point she's thinking, like, I can't do this, you know, that she said three sisters who died of the sugar of diabetes in the novel. And so, you know, you need a reality check, but sometimes you need a dream. You need a dream, a hope of something else. And if you can't find a dream, you need that old boyfriend from way back when coming conveniently present again.
Why would you say sometimes you need a drink?
No, a dream, not a drink. You might do that, too.
I misunderstood. Because at first I was like, I drink to that.
But I will say that sometimes you do need a drink, a glass of red wine, or as I would say on my diet, I can have straight tequila because that has a very low glycemic index. I can have gin or I can have red wine. But no more of those mixers. I can't have a margarita with all that sugary sweet mixer in there. I can't have that anymore. Those are the long gone days, never to come again.
Yeah, those cosmopolitans do go straight to your thighs.
Exactly. All those sugary drinks. You can have the alcohol, but not the sugar. But those are some of – one of Ada's rules is to be careful about what you drink. But, in fact, one of the funny little things is instead of saying, you know, don't drink alcohol and things like that, it tells you – Drink cautiously. No juice, no soft drinks, no food coloring, no corn syrup, no fake sugar. Examine alcohol and caffeine intake. But it doesn't tell you not to drink alcohol, because Ada has some pretty zany rules.
Yeah, I was about to say, and going through what she's going through with her husband, I know she needs a shot of something every now and again.
Oh, exactly. She and occasionally she has to go eat some eat some bad food to get over him. And it's interesting, one of the things I love towards the end of the novel, she has four people that she's suspecting that may be the people. She has suspected them. And towards the end of the novel, she goes and meets with, confronts, engages every one of them, and she learns some very interesting things. But when Ada's on her little trip, her final voyage to discovery, is pretty interesting.
Wow. I'm excited about reading this book myself now. It's going to have to go on definitely on my to-read list, because I want to see what Ada got going on. She sounds inspiring. She sounds inspiring. And those who are listening, the book is on Kindle, because I have a lot of fans that listen to the show who are Kindle huggers. So it is on Kindle. Is it available on the Nook as well?
It's definitely available on the Nook. And, in fact, it's been doing well on both of those. You can go right on, you can go get it right now online while we're talking, and it will inspire you. And you'll be laughing out loud, and you will find out about some wild stuff, like how to get that better hair down there if you want to.
I always ask my guests this question, and we want you to be honest. What are some of the feedback that you've gotten from this novel, the good and the bad? Give us a good review of what people might come to you and say, or give us something somebody has said negative, because we always get both ends of the stick for some reason. You're going to either enlighten somebody or piss somebody off. So on both ends of the spectrum, what type of feedback have you gotten from the book?
Well, I mean, I literally had a woman just write to me yesterday that she wanted to come to Nashville, that she was listening to the radio in Wisconsin, heard me on it, and she went and got the book, and that it changed her life, and that she literally was coming somewhere near Tennessee, traveling with her family, and that she wanted, that this book had saved her life, and that she wanted to come and see me. Now, I've had that. On the negative, one of the most interesting negative comments I had is that they say, someone said it wasn't as an adult a book as they wanted, meaning that it was just like too pro-black women. It was not like, I think they meant that, you know, because Ada and her husband do figure out largely a way to work it out. But to me, that's real life. That's real marriage and trying. It's not that it's simple. It's not that there are not some complexities. But that's just some old-fashioned grown folk home truth. You know, there's a place. So, but that has been probably, you know,
the most compliments
have been people saying it's so funny and it saved their life. It got them really changing their health. And the criticism is that I get the same criticism in all my books, that my men are so good that how do you ever really find a man like that?
Yeah, they're out there. You got to keep looking. They are out there.
Exactly. But I think there's a wonderful scene where they're having, like, they call it old folk sex. They're just both in the bathtub together, but they're not doing anything. And I think this one viewer just, like, did not like that. You know, I said, but, you know, I'm grown up and old enough and young enough to know there's something sweet about that. You know, there's something sweet about that. There's the rest of it, too. So.
Yeah, and then people have to realize, too, I had to, you know what, in this business, since 08, so I haven't been in the literary world long, but I had to just get this tougher skin, because it's like I had to finally just email one person back and just tell them, you know, no matter how I write it, I cannot, it's going to be a win or lose or hit or miss. I cannot please everybody. It's always going to be somebody that wanted the opposite of what I chose. But understand, when I write from my point of view, the way things come to me. You may have written it different. Me and you are two different people. So, but this is what God gave me, so I'll work with it.
I agree with you. Now, the funniest thing, I will say that years ago, my second book, the New York, you know, the first one was a New York Times bestseller and all this, and the second book, I got the meanest review in the New York Times I ever read on some level. And it was, of course, it seemed mean to me because it was, but she said, Alice Randall is a literary meddler. Meddler. I mean, like you know, because I dare touch gum with the wind. And now I'm daring talk about Pushkin. And I'm saying, this is like this. Chick trying to tell me to sit in my place. I don't have any place. We're at the front. This is past Rosa Parks. I'm moving to the front of the literary bus, and I will talk about whatever other literary books I wish to. And don't tell meddling in plays. I have a place, or I should stay into it. But worse than that, and of course, you know, and this to say this to a black woman, she said that she had seen pictures of me and or implied that they said someone need to take a brush to my sentences, like they need to take it to my hair, like they need it to be straight. And I'm thinking, oh no. But it was so foolish that it made me, it amused me. And it got me Jamaica Kincaid. I got to go out to dinner with her. That some of these wonderful black women came to my rescue when I was up in Boston because they were inspired by this crazy review to come and, I think, to come and meet me and see what I was about. But I just thought, everyone has a right to opinion, but when you're telling me to make the sentences straight, like my, I'm thinking, that's not that. All opinions are not created equal. So I've seen it both directions. In that same book, other people, Washington Post and L.A. Times, said that it was one of the best novels of the year. So you know, opinions, everybody, people have varieties of them. But that's one of the hard things when you're writing about our lives, meaning black lives. People want to, you know, they don't want you to say it's just your opinion. They want it to be representing all black women or all black people. And I can only represent my world as I'm creating it. And at the other hand, people don't want to believe us. Like when I write about black spy families, people are saying, well, what kind of black spy families are there? Well, of course, there have been, I can document there are so many. But people are so unprepared to believe that. The same way when Cinera runs off with a black congressman in my first novel, they said there weren't any black congressmen in 1870, but in fact, there were a dozen. People have just forgotten them. And so, you know, it's interesting, like, you know, there are a lot of actual black astronauts, but most people don't know about them. And I feel like if I wanted to write a novel about a black astronaut, nobody would believe it. Now, I'm not planning on writing one, but if I wanted to write a novel about a black woman who was a country songwriter, nobody would believe it.
But, you know, and the thing is, people, it's, at the end of the day, and I need to get a T-shirt with this on it, it's fiction, baby. It's fiction. I can in my stories I can create my own cities. I can create my own street names, my own businesses. I can have my characters doing what I want them to do. If you enjoy it, great. If you don't, that's fine too. But just stop hating. Everything, people don't understand. We have different likes for everything. I love pralines and cream ice cream. My family don't. I'm not. My husband loves rum raisin. I cannot stand raisins. So everybody has their own flavor of everything. Some people like it hot. Some people don't. Some people just drink iced coffee. Some people like their coffee hot. Some people drink iced tea. Some people drink hot tea. People, it's all a matter of imagination. And we express ourselves individually. And we won't hit that mark for everybody. We just won't. And if you're out there and you're writing a book, you write it from your perspective, your thoughts, and you can't not focus on what people think. You just give your best, and that's all you can do.
Yeah, that's all you can do. And that's what, because as your job as a writer is to create a world. You create a world on the pages. It may be very close to the world that other people know, too, but it is to create a world. And That's what we're out here doing.
All right. Well, I do thank you so much, Ms. Randall, for coming out and hanging out with us. Before we close out the show, I do want to get your contact information again and your website. And I also want you to share with our listeners any upcoming events that you might have coming up and where they can come out and meet and greet you if you have some events coming up soon.
Okay, great. Well, the first thing is about upcoming events. If people are coming to the Essence Festival, I definitely want to see them there, and that would be really, really wonderful. And then about websites, I want to tell people about www.alicerandall.com, and I also want to tell them about my home website, www.adasrules.com. And so that's really exciting that you can meet us there. But more importantly, we want to see you on Facebook. We've got Ada's, you can become my friend on Facebook or like Ada's Rules on Facebook or join Ada's Army. We'd love for you to join our Ada's Army on Facebook. And so those are all things that you can do, and I think that we'd love to see you there. Let's see. So if anyone is going to be in Atlanta, Georgia, at the National Book Club Conference, the Women's Empowerment Summit in Atlanta, I'm going to be there July 21st. And so that's some of the things. And if you want to visit me at home, if you say that you've heard this on this show and you come to Nashville in October for the Southern Festival of Books, I will have you over to my house. We're having a big party in October, that Saturday night at the Southern Festival of Books. But if you email me and tell me through our website that you heard about it on this show, this is the only show I've invited people to do that since you've asked me about these upcoming events. You can come to the author's home, October 13th. So that's what's really coming up for us.
Wow. So, and lastly, before I let you go, was there anything that you want to add or share that I may not have asked or you want to share, or if you want to promote your publisher or your editor or someone that you want to give a shout-out to before we close out the show?
Well, I am with Bloomsbury, which I love Bloomsbury. They also publish Harry Potter in England. And my editor is Anton Mueller, and what I think we really want to do is shout out about having you join Ada's Army and looking at our website, www.adasarmy.com, it's or www.adasrules.com. You can get there either way. And I want you to join in the celebration of reading this book and also in the joy of shifting the shape of your life and having your own health and beauty revival, and share your tips. Tell us about how you're walking. Tell us about what you're cooking. Make it your own little book club at home, reading the book and taking care of yourself. That's really what I'm all about right now, is Black women, young and old, putting ourselves on the list to take the time to read the books that we enjoy, but to take care of ourselves and our health and have fun doing it. That's really, truly what Alice Randall is all about right now in this Ada moment. And I'm loving meeting all the young writers out there like yourself and the young readers, because if you're small, you know you have a mama or aunt or grandma who needs to read my book. And if you are large yourself, you know you need to read my book soon to help you have fun, and including loving exactly how you are, because this is not about getting small. As I said, this is like getting, you know, not being 26. Let's be realistic, and let us enjoy those 16s and 18s. But we don't need to get bigger than that. And many of us are going to be in the 2s and the 4s, and that's wonderful too. But as I said, so some of the young readers out there, when you read it, please pass it on to your grandmother, or your aunt, or your mama, or some ladies at the church who need this book so they can, even if they don't change one thing about their body, they love their body even more. Because this is about celebrating the shape you are in today. You don't wait for any kind of change to love yourself. You love yourself now. And then you figure out what you want to do to shake it up a little bit.
Oh, we thank you so much, so much. And whenever you have something new or you want to come back on the show and join us, you are always welcome. The show will be archived at AAMBC Radio, so you can actually go and listen to the show. You can post the show on your Twitter. You can post the show on your Facebook and things like that. That's a link available for you. If you go on Facebook and befriend Authors Anna Black, I do have it posted on my page, so you can actually share from my page as well. So we
thank you
so much. Yes.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure and wonderful to be with you. Good night.
Good night.
Now, where are you located? I didn't get to ask you that. Where are you talking about?
I am in Texas. I'm in Killeen, Texas. Been in Killeen, Texas a little over 10 years now, but out here with my family, my husband, and my daughter. So enjoy it. I do enjoy it.
Well, I'm in Nashville, so you see, I'm just across the road from you with a husband and a daughter, too. My daughter's teaching down in Mississippi, so we've got a lot in common. I can't wait to read. I'll be reading some of your books this week, so I'm looking forward to that.
All right. Thank you so much. And I'll definitely keep in touch with you through email. And you okay. have a lovely evening.
You too. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, everyone. We were just joined by Miss Alice Randall. She is the author of Ada's Rules. It's on Kindle, you guys. It's on the Nook. It's available everywhere books are sold, so you guys make sure you check her out. Just check her out on Facebook as well, Twitter, her website. And if you missed anything, if you need to go back, definitely go to AAMBC Radio. Well, blogtalkradio.com/AAMBC. You can go back and listen to tonight's episode. You guys have a great night, and thank you guys for tuning in.
I can fall, I can fly to the highest mountain top. I can breathe you, I can drink in your love. I can live on your smile. I can trip and I can fall into your arms. I can stay there. Yeah.